God's word comes to us from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament. We'll be reading the verses 6 through 12 of this chapter. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. What we hear now is God's word. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we come tonight to the last sermon in our series on the minor prophets. And I hope by now you have come to appreciate, as I have, that we call them minor not because they have a minor message. We call them minor because of their length, but their message is just as applicable today as it was for Israel when the prophets lived. We have in this past series spanned for us about 2 or 3 months or so. Although in the Word of God, we have talked about a span of about 400 years. The first prophet, Hosea, prophesying in about 850 B.C., the last prophet, Malachi, the one we study tonight, prophesying in about 450 B.C. A space of 400 years has been covered in this series. We have seen that the prophet spoke to Israel before the exile, warning them of what God would do if they were disobedient. They were disobedient, and God sent them away into exile. We have seen the last three prophets speak to the post-exilic people of God. God's promises to restore them to favor. God's promises having returned them to the land to bless them. And that same theme is continued in Malachi tonight. The last two prophets we studied, the time frame was about 520 B.C. or so. We've now gone down the timeline about another 70 or 80 years to about the year 450 to the prophet Malachi. Malachi is a wonderful book in the way Malachi writes. He, in many times, will place an argument in the mouth of the people. You will say this. And then he, on behalf of God, answers that argument. If you've read through the book of Malachi, you'll see that formation a number of times. But you will say, how is this happening? And God will answer through the words of the prophet. We see that again in our text this evening. You have said this, but God answers to the people. Malachi wrote to the people after the temple had been built. Remember the last two books, children, were talking about it's time to build the temple. And Israel was charged to once again build the temple of God. Well, they did that with the encouragement of those prophets. And now it's been, like I said, about 70 years or so. And while the temple was once again standing and sacrifice once again going on, it was an empty worship of God. The people had become very formal, very disengaged in God's worship. They were not with their hearts following after God. We see some hints of that at the beginning of this book. I read from chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift in your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altars in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord. They simply brought empty, formal service to God, and not even the way God had intended. God had told them, offer the best, offer the first fruits, offer a lamb without blemish. And they were offering the lame. They were offering the blind. They were offering the worst of what they had. They were not fully engaged in the proper worship of God. They did not love him with heart and soul and mind and strength. They did not desire to offer him the best that they had. And so God comes to them, and he says, I, the Lord, do not change. What I required before, I still require of you now. Return to me, and I will return to you. And that's the theme that runs through the book. Return, return. Stop doing it in an empty, formal way. Stop the worthless worship. I'd rather have the door shut, God says. Return and worship the way I have instructed you, the way it is proper, the way it is intended. And to give them a very concrete example, to give them a very real life test, we might say, God, through Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 6 through 12, talks about the giving that they do. A very real and tangible thing. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? What do you want us to do, God? And the response, will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? Divine robbery. God says, return to me. They say, how shall we return? And the answer is, by giving what is proper. You will say, how have we robbed you? And the answer, in your tithes and in your contributions. In the offerings they were bringing. They were not giving God what was his due. They were not giving him the honor he was due. They were not giving him the respect he was due. And God could have used any number of examples to demonstrate this to them.
But he chooses to use the very real and concrete example of the tithes and the contributions. And he says, in this, you are robbing me. Because you're not doing it how I have told you. You're not doing it with the proper heart. Offering the weak, offering the lame, offering the blind. Offering the last of what you have. When God required the first fruits. Imagine that, children. Robbing God. Maybe sometimes you see on TV, on the news, a story about somebody robbing a store. And they go in and they take something out of that store and they haven't paid for it and they rob the store. But imagine robbing God himself. God who has made us, God who has given us everything, and that's the one now we're going to rob. A God who knows us, a God who has loved us. Will a man rob God, and yet you rob me with your tithes, with your contributions? Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. They wanted a blessing. God had said, rebuild the temple, and I will bless you. Rebuild the temple and you will know my favor. They wanted a blessing. But although they did the external act of rebuilding the temple and even the external act of offering the sacrifices, their hearts were far from God. Their devotion not flowing from within. And they were cursed. The whole nation of you, God says. And Israel, it seems, tries to blame God. God, where's the blessing you promised? God, why aren't you doing what you said? That's why God says right at the beginning, I, the Lord, do not change. I still promise the blessing. And I will bless. But I will be faithful to all my words. But you must be faithful. You must be faithful too to respond to me. To respond in obedience. If you're not seeing the blessing, Israel, don't point the finger at me. You have robbed me. And in doing so, you have robbed yourself of the blessing that I am able and willing to give. Will a man rob God? To steal from God is also to steal the blessing that God has promised to give to us. After pointing out what they were doing, pointing out that their hearts were not directed toward God, and choosing to use this example, God goes on through Malachi to give this bold and provocative challenge, verse 10. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down upon you a blessing until there is no more need. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Tithe is a word we still use today. Children, tithe just means one-tenth. If I were to have 10 dimes in my hand, and I were to give all 10 of those dimes to you children, and I said, all that I ask is that you take one of those dimes and put it in the offering plate. That would be a tithe. One-tenth of what I have given to you. I give you 10, and I ask, all I ask of you is to put one. You get to keep the other 9. And we say, what a great deal. If I did that with $1 bills, we'd have the high schoolers lining up. With 20s, the adults would form a line. I'll give you 10 of them. And all I ask is that you put one in the offering. You keep the other 9 for yourself. That's the tithe. And that's the challenge that God gives to his people. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Now, when it talks about putting God to the test, what is really being tested is the people's belief that God will do what he says. We know God will be trustworthy. I do not change, says the Lord. But if you think I do, and if you think I have, then put me to the test. It'll be a test of your faith as well. Because you see, everything we have comes from God. And everything we have belongs to God. That's Psalm 24. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the earth and all creatures belong to the Lord. He gives things to us for us to use, to care for, to be stewards of. But ultimately, it all belongs to him. And God says, I am able to provide for your needs. Test me in this. They had seen God's work. They had seen what he had done. They had been in exile, and they had seen God bring them back from captivity, back to the land. One of the big three Old Testament promises. They had seen a king in the line of David back on the throne. One of the Old Testament promises. They had seen the temple rebuilt. The third Old Testament promise. God says, I have not changed. I will still be faithful. Test me in this. And see if here too I will not show myself to be true to my word. That same challenge comes to us today. We have a God who we have seen do miraculous things, do marvelous things. We have a God who is so powerful that he is able to take us who are fallen and dead in sin and bring us to new life. And it's easy for us to say, oh sure, in the spiritual realm, God can take care of me. Oh sure, he can forgive my sins, he can remove the debt. But what about real life? What about my finances? Can I trust him there? I, the Lord, do not change. Test me in this, says God. The challenge is for us still today. For those of you who already have the practice of tithing to God, I hope that this word from Malachi is an ongoing encouragement to you. God has not changed. As he has taken care of you in the past, he will continue. For those of you not tithing, I hope this passage from Malachi is a challenge to you. Test me, says God, and see if I will not continue to be faithful and to provide for you. It all belongs to me. I can send as much or as little blessing as I choose. Do we trust God? Do we really trust him to provide for our needs? Oh, we pray, give us this day our daily bread, but do we believe he can do it? You see, tithing is not something you can fake. You can fake parts of your spiritual life. You can fake devotion to God in the singing that we do. We can move our mouths and make the sounds and our hearts be far away. We can fake different parts of our spiritual life. We can fake our daily prayers to him and simply go through the words. We can even fake the delivery of sermons when our hearts are far away. But tithing we really can't fake. You either do it or you don't. And all you have to do is open your checkbook to find the answer. Test me in this, says God. The bold challenge. Oh, we know the objections to tithing. I think in my life I've given many objections to tithing. There's no New Testament command that we tithe. Tithing is an Old Testament thing. We don't make that distinction. between Old Testament Word of God and New Testament Word of God. It's all the Word of God. Tithing is commended in the New Testament. It's encouraged by Jesus himself. No, there's no New Testament command, thou shalt tithe. But we don't say simply because something was in the Old Testament, it's no longer binding on us. In fact, we should be doing even more than that now. When we think about the flow of redemptive history, how does God tend to work between the Old Testament and the New Testament? In the Old Testament, God was in some ways very limiting. He chose one people to be his own. In the New Testament, that is expanded to all languages and tribes and peoples and nations. There's an explosion that goes on. In the Old Testament, God gave the sign of the covenant, the sign of circumcision, only to males. In the New Testament, that covenant sign is expanded where boys and girls can be included in baptism. There's an expansion that goes on. In the flow of redemptive history, in the Old Testament, God gave the principle of tithing, giving 10%. In the New Testament, that must be expanded upon. Tithing is the beginning of our giving, not the end. It goes against the flow of redemptive history to say, no, God's going to go backwards here and ask for less now than he did before. Sometimes the objection comes, do I tithe on my before-tax earnings or on my after-tax earnings? Which did God provide? Did he provide our before-tax earnings or our after-tax earnings? The government will take its portion. The government will take its 15 or 28 or 33 or 35%, whatever it is. They will take theirs. We rob God by not giving him his full due? You know, I like to go out for dinner. I like to go to fancy restaurants. If I go to a nice place to eat and the waiter does a fine job, I'll give him 15% of the whole bill. So why does giving 10% to God seem so big? Will a man rob God? Maybe sometimes we say, but I'm just not making that much right now. My little bit wouldn't make a difference. Maybe you college students think that. I'm not making that much right now. That's the beauty of tithing. That's the beauty of proportional giving. Is that it doesn't matter how much you make. 10% is 10%. God doesn't ask for a particular dollar amount. He says, give proportionally to how I have blessed you. I encourage those of you in college, I encourage those of you who are preparing for marriage, at the beginning of your marriage, right away, make that commitment. Take God's bold challenge. Test me in this. And what does God say? Test me in this, from verse 10, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. Test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down upon you a blessing until there is no more need. God will open the windows of heaven and pour down the blessing. Now, there's another time in Scripture when God speaks of opening the windows of heaven. The story of the flood. In the flood, God opened the windows of heaven, and the rain and the water came down and covered the whole earth. We're not talking about God giving out his blessing with an eyedropper. God giving a little blessing here and a little blessing there. God says, I will open the windows of heaven itself and pour down my blessing upon you. I think one of the things that keeps us from committing to tithing is we think we're going to lose something. We think that if we commit to giving God what he has asked for, we're going to never go out for a fine dinner again and never be able to do a lot of things. We fear what we're going to lose rather than hearing from the God who says, I do not change. I will open the windows of heaven to bless you. And maybe we, like Israel, say, but I don't see the blessing. Maybe we are tithing right now, but I don't see the blessing of God. Perhaps we're looking in the wrong place. The next verse, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so it will not destroy the fruit of your soils or the vine on the field. I will rebuke the devourer. God will protect what we already have. And that's part of the blessing. Maybe we go through life and our children are healthy and they barely go to the doctor except for a checkup on occasion. That's part of the blessing. We don't have the tens of thousands of dollars of hospital bills. God has blessed us. He's opened the windows of heaven to give health. Maybe the washing machine that should have quit 6 months ago is still spitting just fine. God is rebuking the devourer. Maybe that old car that you say a quick prayer for every time you turn the key still starts. I will open the windows of heaven, and I will pour out my blessing, and there will be no need. We need to look for the blessing in the proper place. Oh, perhaps there are not checks in the mail flowing in. But God provides in a variety and in wonderful, miraculous ways. An abundant blessing poured out upon the people. Verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed. Even the nations will notice. Look at what God's doing for them. This is a blessed people. And you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. The nations will notice what's going on. They will see, and the implication is, and they will desire. They will say, how can we have this too? And we simply say, when your hearts are fully devoted to God, recognizing the spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and the physical blessings, that God is able, and we trust Him, and He has not changed, and He will open the windows of heaven. Malachi came to Israel. A people who wanted to be blessed. A people who had allowed their hearts to grow cold. Had allowed their worship to become simply formal. Who had not committed to offering to God what He had asked. Malachi comes to them with this very real, this very practical challenge. After the reminder, I, the Lord, do not change. Return to me, I'll return to you. He says, don't rob God. But bring in the full tithe and all the contributions, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. God brings the same word to us tonight. If you want a blessed life, it is not about what you can hold on to. It is not about what you can retain. It is about what you offer wholeheartedly, without reservation. Not the lame, not the blind, not the weak, not the least and the last, but bringing in the full tithe. May God move our hearts to take the challenge, to test Him in this, and then to look and to see the various and miraculous ways in which God chooses to bless His people. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word, a word that comes to us in clarity, a word that comes to us in boldness, a word that encourages and challenges us. We pray You would help us, O God, to honor You with our finances. It's so easy to think that our financial life is somehow separate from our spiritual life, but we know they are intimately tied together.
for you are King and you are Lord over all of life. Lord God, encourage us tonight that we might know that we can trust you. Trust you to provide for all of our needs, for you are the God who does not change. You are the God who remains merciful and faithful. You are the God who has shown his mercy to us in the forgiving of our sins. And you are the God who blesses us in many physical ways. Help us, O God, to be faithful unto you, for to you belongs all glory and honor and praise. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.